Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence to hear your holy word and to worship and praise you for your great love. May our worship be pleasing in your sight, and we ask that you give us your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and increase our love for you. Keep us steadfast until that day when Jesus comes again to take us to our heavenly home to live with you forever in peace and joy. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is The Day of Resurrection, and we invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow along with the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have raised up the fallen world. We pray that you would give to us, your children, faithfulness and perpetual gladness. And to us whom you have delivered from the danger of everlasting death, give the joys of everlasting life. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1. We read verses 17 through 21. Again, Peter being a witness of Jesus' resurrection. We'll hear more words from Peter in our sermon text for today. He emphasizes Jesus' death and resurrection. If you call on the Father who judges impartially according to the work of each person, conduct yourselves during the time of your pilgrimage in reverence, because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our second reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This is the account of Jesus appearing to two disciples on the way to Emmaus. This takes place on Easter Sunday. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing this, Jesus himself approached and began to walk along with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" Saddened, they stopped. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked them. They replied, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Not only that, but besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Also, some women of our group amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. When they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village where they were going, he acted as if he was going to travel further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, since it's almost evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and began giving it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he was speaking to us along the road, and while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them assembled together. They were saying, "The Lord really has been raised. He has appeared to Simon." They themselves described what had happened along the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. Here ends our scripture readings. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, "The Strife Is O'er, the Battle Done." Thank you. rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns for you and me and all believers, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is again taken from Acts chapter 2. We'll read the first half of verse 14 and then verses 36 through 47. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them, "Men of Judea and all you residents of Jerusalem, understand this and listen closely to my words." And then we jump to verse 36, where Peter continues to preach. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Gentlemen, brothers, what should we do?" Peter answered them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call." He testified solemnly with many other words and was appealing to them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. They continued to hold firmly to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayers. Awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were selling their possessions and property and were distributing the proceeds according to what anyone needed. Day after day, with one mind, they were devoted to meeting in the temple area as they continued to break bread in their homes. They shared their food with glad and sincere hearts as they continued praising God and being viewed favorably by all the people. Day after day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we looked at a reaction to the resurrection of Jesus by one of his apostles, an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus, the reaction of the apostle Peter. Today we're going to look at some resurrection reactions from people who listened to Peter speak about the resurrection of Jesus, but very likely had not seen that for themselves. In other words, we're going to be looking at people who are a lot like us, people in our situation, the early New Testament Christians who were very much in the same boat as us. The crowd that gathered that day in Jerusalem for Pentecost, which was the day on which this text took place, was made up of people not just from Jerusalem, but from places scattered abroad over all the known world. Therefore, it's likely that not many of these people who were listening to Peter's Spirit-inspired sermon that day were, like Peter, eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection. Yet we're told that God worked the miracle of conversion in the hearts of many people on that day of Pentecost through Peter's preaching. Luke tells us in verse 41 that those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. Again, many of these people, like us, had not seen the risen Christ. But they believed. They believed on the basis of God's word that was spoken to them through eyewitnesses like Peter. And these people were saved. However, that was not the only resurrection reaction that the Holy Spirit produced in these early New Testament Christians. The most important part had been taken care of by God's word. They believed. It had produced repentance and faith in the hearts of about 3,000 people that day. Our text also tells us that the Holy Spirit had produced many incredible fruits of faith in the hearts and lives of the entire Christian church in Jerusalem for many days after this miracle of Pentecost. Let's look at what they did. Look first of all at verse 42, where Luke tells us they continued to hold firmly to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. The apostles' teaching is what it says they held firmly to. The apostles taught what Jesus taught. And so their teachings were the very words of God, just as Jesus had commanded them when he gave them the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. These early New Testament Christians then continued to hold firmly to the Word of God and to be in fellowship with the apostles. They also continued to hold firmly to the breaking of bread together, which refers to their fellowship meals together, which they called agape or love feasts. And during these meals, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. These early New Testament Christians also showed and expressed their unity of faith with each other through prayers. They held firmly to praying together. You probably noticed also that our text tells us something very unique and incredible about the unity of these believers in Jerusalem. One way they expressed that unity of faith and devotion to the apostles' teaching and to each other, they expressed it in a very unique and powerful way. Verses 44 and 45 tell us, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They were selling their possessions and property and were distributing the proceeds according to what anyone needed. Notice the text doesn't tell us that this was something that was commanded by God or commanded by the apostles. In fact, it doesn't even tell us the apostles were the ones who came up with this idea. They also weren't trying to put some sort of God-mandated economic theory into practice either. Some have falsely said this is some sort of prescriptive way that God tells us we're to live or to base our economy. No, these early New Testament Christians in Jerusalem shared all things both spiritually and physically as an expression of their love for their risen Savior and an expression of love to their fellow believers, their brothers and sisters in Christ. They were, in every sense of the word, completely devoted to the fellowship, a word that we could translate sharing. That's what the word means, a oneness with, a sharing with. And again, remember that many of these people would have not actually seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. They were trusting steadfastly and solely on the apostles' teaching, on their eyewitness of the risen Christ. So what about us? What application is there for us? Well, there is great application from this section of Acts. What about our resurrection reaction? It has now been 2 weeks since we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, that miracle of the resurrection that took place on Easter Sunday. Like those early New Testament Christians, are we still living in that joy of the resurrection? These people were doing these things, teaching these things, still believing these things months after Jesus had been raised from the dead and had now ascended into heaven. Are we still living in that joy, still clinging to that faith? Can people see it in our lives, hear it in our voices? Can they sense the sincerity of our hearts as we prepare to come to worship Jesus on Sunday, which is a celebration each week of his resurrection? And if not, let's ask ourselves, why not? Aren't we in much the same position as the people of the early New Testament church, redeemed and forgiven just like they were through the perfect life and innocent death of Jesus on the cross? Aren't you and I now sons and daughters of God through the miracle of baptism and the faith that God has produced in our hearts? Aren't we also dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit through the words of His inspired eyewitnesses, His apostles, just like they were? Well, yes. We have also been blessed greatly with some of the same fruits of faith that were evident in the lives of these early New Testament Christians. Gifts which I think we probably too often take for granted. Don't we also, by God's grace, devote ourselves each week and hopefully each day to the apostles' teaching, the very inspired words of God written down for us by eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection? The New Testament, the complete words that Jesus wanted written down for us, found for us in the Scriptures. Don't we also base our fellowship on that word, and only on that word, not on reason or human speculation or compromise? Don't we also express that fellowship with each other, not just when we come together for worship, but also in the breaking of bread, in the Lord's Supper? Haven't we also at times shared our goods and possessions with each other, with those who are in need, both locally, around our country, and also overseas, brothers and sisters in Christ that have suffered loss? We have shared our possessions with them as well. The Holy Spirit is the one who has worked these things in our hearts, the desire to come together for fellowship around the Word of God and to share things physically and spiritually with each other. The Holy Spirit's the one that produced that in our hearts. And so we have something very much in common with those early New Testament believers. And sometimes when we read this section of Acts, we think, what do we have in common with them? Those people seem so incredibly faithful and incredibly blessed by God. But the fact is, we do have much in common with them. We have fellowship with them in the sense that our faith is based on the exact same thing. How did they remain spiritually strong? How did they continue to grow in faith? How did they continue to grow in numbers? Well, the last two verses of our text tell us, day after day, with one mind, they were devoted to meeting in the temple area as they continued to break bread in their homes. They shared their food with glad and sincere hearts as they continued praising God and being viewed favorably by all the people. Day after day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Don't we use the same method? Don't we use the same tool that the early New Testament Christians used? Don't we, with one mind and one purpose, base our fellowship solely on the Word of God? We do. And so where then does the problem usually lie for us? Doesn't it boil down to often what all the people in Jerusalem, that would be referring to both believers and unbelievers alike, could see very clearly in the lives of these early New Testament Christians? The text says that the believers were viewed favorably by all the people. Was it just because they continued daily with one accord in fellowship with each other and in steadfastness to the apostles' teaching? That's definitely a part of it, but they could have just done that off to themselves, off in a corner somewhere in private where no one else would have heard or seen their faithful teaching or witnessed their faithful living. Instead, our text tells us they did it publicly. They did it in the temple area. If they hadn't also lived their lives according to the apostles' teaching, then the people of Jerusalem probably wouldn't have thought much of their Christian faith. Instead, they both day after day with one mind continued in the apostles' teaching, and it says they did it with glad and sincere hearts as they continued praising God. Does that gladness of our faith shine through in our lives? Does the sincerity of our hearts come through in the things that we say and the things that we do, not just on Sunday morning? Are we playing Christian, or are we actually living and being followers of the risen Christ? Do we gather here for worship on Sunday with glad and sincere hearts? Or are we just playing church? Or are we in fact truly worshiping and praising a risen, living, and almighty God and Savior? Our Savior lives. That's a fact. We can be glad. We can live joyfully because of that fact. And that same Holy Spirit that worked sincere hearts in those early New Testament Christians is still at work in your heart and in mine, in our lives, through that very same Word of God, the Word that the apostles taught and preached. Let people see and hear that sincerity in your words when you speak to them, and in your whole life as we live it out in front of others that we come into contact with throughout the week. Our Savior lives. We have the sure eyewitness testimony in His Word, and we have His promise that when the end of our short lives comes, we too will be eyewitnesses of Him. And as the Apostle John says, we will see Him as He is. Praise God. Now, obviously, our reaction to the resurrection by the way we live our lives isn't going to actually bring anyone to faith in Jesus. But it certainly can tear down some obstacles that may be hindering them from learning more about this Jesus and hearing more about what He tells them in the Word. By giving others a living example of the power and blessedness of the gospel of the crucified and risen Savior Jesus, people may inquire more about this crucified and risen Savior Jesus. When they ask us, then, why do you live the way that you live? Why do you do and say the things that you do? We can share with them exactly what the apostles taught. We can share with them the Word of God. And we can do this with glad and sincere hearts and with praise to God because it is the truth. It is the true and saving word, the gospel of the risen Christ, which we are sharing with these needy, dying souls. We can also be confident that through the powerful, saving gospel of our Lord Jesus, Jesus Himself will continue to add daily to the church those who are being saved. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of the church. We continue our service with our next hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Thank you. We have several prayer requests today for babies that have been born. There was two babies born yesterday to the Ryan family. Danielle and Randy Wittorp had a baby girl yesterday, Elizabeth. They're former members here of St. Stephen. And then Emily Nee Ryan, now Schlegel Milch. She and her husband Brian had a baby boy. The baby boy was born last night and is still yet unnamed, but the Lord knows who he is. So we will give thanks to the Lord for them. Also, you might notice in the bulletin that Tina and Julian Weinberger had their baby boy, Aiden, earlier this month, and they are planning on having him baptized tentatively in our service next Sunday. So we bring prayers of thanksgiving to the Lord for the births of these three babies. Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Dear Lord, through the psalmist, you have reminded us that children are wonderful blessings sent from you to lighten our earthly burdens and to fill our hearts with joy. We praise your holy name for bestowing on these parents such joy-filled blessings with these children. We bow in thankfulness that you've kept the mothers continually in your grace and protection and have given them healthy children. We pray for your continued blessings, asking you to protect and sustain these children throughout their lives. Cause them to be born again of water and the Spirit in baptism, that in faith and love for you, their Savior, they may serve your name here on earth and eternity share with the angels and all believers the glories of heaven. May these children always be filled with your grace and the Holy Spirit, that they may continue to be a joy and a blessing to their parents and to others by walking the path of righteousness through life. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who has said, "Let the little children come to me." Dear risen Savior Jesus Christ, we give thanks to you for the many rich blessings you give to us. First and foremost, for the forgiveness of sins you won for us on the cross and the eternal life which is ours through your resurrection. We rejoice that through the Holy Spirit you have called us to faith, clothing us with the garments of salvation and arraying us in a robe of righteousness. We rejoice that you now live in us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do good works to your glory. We rejoice that our prayers are heard and answered at God's throne, where you intercede on our behalf. We rejoice that you are even now preparing a place in heaven for us and that you will soon come to raise the dead and take us to yourself. This hope lifts up our spirits, robs death of its sting, and helps us to bear with patience the troubles that so often beset us. When loneliness could easily turn into despair, we are reminded to rejoice instead, for we have your promise to be with us even to the end of the world. All these blessings and many more you give to us because you conquered sin and rose again. O crucified and risen Savior, for all our sins, all our sorrows, wants, and cares, you have prescribed the perfect remedy. You have invited us to come to you for rest. What joy, therefore, is ours in believing? May we never forfeit that joy because of our unbelief. Through the Holy Spirit, keep us fully committed to your word of truth, that by it our trust in you may deepen and our appreciation of your love for us may grow. Enable us also by the Holy Spirit to serve you with a full Christian life and to share your name with others. Joyfully we praise your holy name, O blessed Savior and Lord, and in your name now we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Abide, O Dearest Jesus. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A couple of announcements for today and for this week. The Women's Auxiliary is asked to meet after the service today. We'll be meeting in the Fellowship Hall. I'll be heading up to Hayward for our worship service and Bible class there beginning at 1 p.m. today. This week, I have Stockton Worship Service at Oakmont Senior Living. That takes place at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. And a reminder that our church council and elders meet via Zoom at 7 p.m. this Wednesday. The church calendar has the SSLS Runathon listed for this Friday. It's been rescheduled for the last Friday of next month, so May 26th will be the Runathon. Next Sunday, usual service time and Bible class time, 9 a.m. for Bible class, worship service at 10 a.m. If you would please take a look in the fellowship hall on the countertop, there are a bunch of VHS and audio tape videos of various biblical topics and also some archival VHS tapes from St. Stephen functions in the past. If you'd like to take some, please do so. There's also a small projector screen. We have a couple of extra ones of those. There's one to give away if you'd like to take it. If you would please do so today. The historical items will be stored somewhere, but many of the other items will be donated if they're not taken today. So please take a look at things and take whatever you would like. As I mentioned in the prayers today, there is a baptism tentatively scheduled for next Sunday during the service. I will be meeting with Tina and Julian this week to finalize their plans, and we welcome their little baby Aiden into the world, and we welcome him into the family of the Lord, Lord willing, through his baptism next Sunday. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.